Good morning, students of laboratory course of environmental sciences. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. Anyway, I hope that you watch this video before entering to the lab work next week. This lab work is dealing with chemical oxidation and this time the chemical oxidation is used for the removal of blue color of textile industry effluents, but the very same principle can be applied for all kinds of wastewaters, drinking water, contaminated groundwater, contaminated soil, contaminated air. Okay, a few words of ozone. Ozone is allotropic form of oxygen. It has three ozone atoms. And, it's very reactive and occurs in gas phase. It can't be packed in a bottle or stored. It has to be generated on the spot. It has a burning smell and burning taste, but in low concentration, some people say that the smell of ozone is even a little bit like a pleasant one, and it varies from person to person, and also the sensitivity to smell the ozone varies. Ozone is a very hazardous compounds if you inhale high concentration of ozone, which occurs sometimes in like paper and pulp bleaching or when you produce a huge amounts of ozone in for full-scale application. We have a tiny little ozone generator that creates 3 or 5 grams of milligrams of ozone per minute, and we are working the hood so that it's not a big problem to us and not judge. But I would like to also to mention that please keep in mind that the biggest problem next week is this possible exposure to COVID-19 when we are working in close contact. Even we are in the very a big laboratory with excellent ventilation. We are working with hoods in small groups and wearing masks. The second thing what you should be aware is that we are working with electrical equipments like an ozone generator and stirrer and so on. And if you spill water on your electrical device, there's always possibility for electrical shock. So if it occurs, please pull the plug, electrical plug, immediately. And ozone as such has been chemically known for almost 200 years. It has been able to produce by UV radiation and electrical discharge. It has found already its application in different areas like drinking water treatment, wastewater treatment. Already in the very beginning of the 19th century, there has been a drinking water treatment plant that has been using ozone since 1909, and they have continued to use the ozone for disinfection of drinking water since that. And other countries, Anglo-Saxon countries, started to use chlorine for the disinfection, but the French-speaking countries like Canada and our countries in Western Africa have always preferred ozone in the drinking water disinfection. Nowadays, it's not either or, it's both ozone and chlorine. ozone is also formed in upper atmosphere where there is this protective layer of the ozone oxygen reacting with strong UV radiation, so strong that it is able to split the oxygen molecule, and then there is this formation of ozone, and that reaction eats and consumes the dangerous strong parts of the solar radiation and protects the surface layer of the Earth from that harmful strong UV radiation. So this ozone cycle takes place in upper atmosphere too. And ozone can be produced also with strong UV radiation, even though this electrical discharge method is more common nowadays to produce ozone wherever it is needed. Ozone is very reactive compound, and it is also reacting and decomposing also in water phase, not only in the troposphere. And there are at least 21 different reaction mechanisms in the ozone degradation cycle in water phase. But we will skip those details during this lab course. We were studying those mechanisms in the drinking water treatment course, but we don't have it anymore. But anyway, ozone as such is able to decompose in clean water by itself without anything in a couple of minutes. But if there is something what it can oxidize, and then we go to the equation number two. So this MP molecule is oxidized by molecular ozone, and that takes place when this MP is reactive and sensitive to the ozone molecule. Ozone molecule degrades very easily to the hydroxyl radical, and then we are talking about advanced oxidation processes. And there are big difference on the rate and selectivity between this reaction, whether it's as a molecular or hydroxyl radical. When we are talking about molecular ozone, just in our lab experiments, the mechanism is based on the so-called Krieger reaction, which is taking place when the ozone can react with a double bond and break it. And for example, in our case, we have this blue color, and the ozonation is able to break this aromatic compound, and it also means that the removal of the blue color is based on this reaction. But in some natural conditions, and also this is one extra line of oxidation processes, so-called advanced oxidation processes, use ozone, for example, as a starting material to produce these hydroxyl radicals and other radicals, which are able to oxidize very selectively almost everything with very, very quickly. The idea is here that this oxidation takes place in the room temperature and ambient pressure. And and the reactions are very, very unselective and fast. The half-life of hydroxyl radical in those reactions is about 1 second to 10 to the power minus 11 seconds. So very unselective reactions. And direct ozonation occurs when the solution is pretty concentrated, like drinking water. We are talking about low pH, less than 8, low temperature, and there are no scavenger or something extra material which could consume this ozone. But if ozone degrades to the hydroxyl radical, it takes place in, if there are pH is high, if the temperature is high, if there's a UV radiation around or transition metals, X-rays, or usually practical application is the addition of hydrogen peroxide into the solution. So this ozonation goes to the sideline of the formation of hydroxyl radical. And that is a way to oxidize almost everything, and that's sometimes it's positive, but usually it's negative because this really consumes a lot of chemicals, ozone and hydrogen peroxide or something like that, because there's always the matrix, and the matrix is always several orders of magnitude higher. The concentration of this matrix is higher than this our micropollutant. So it's expensive and rare, consumes high amount of chemicals. Ozone is used in very many applications. For example, in drinking water treatment, it's able to inactivate all kind of membranes and cell membrane and this breakage of the cell wall is usually this reason for the deactivation and killing of the microorganisms. It is able also to react with DNA and RNA strains, even they don't have this cell wall. Besides of the disinfection and the other benefits in drinking water treatment are that it is able to oxidize iron to soluble iron to iron 3 with this which precipitates out of the solution, iron oxidation is quite easy. It can be done even with a molecular oxygen, but oxidation of the soluble manganese doesn't work with oxygen. Oxygen, the pH has to be 10, but in that case, it's much easier to use ozone because you don't need to play with pH adjustment if you use ozone, because ozone is able to oxidize also manganese. Natural organic matter, the humic matter, it contains a lot of these aromatic structures, conjugated double bonds, and ozone is very effective to remove the color and make the humic matter more biodegradable by breaking the aromatic groups and the formation of the carboxylic acid occurs, and this kind of degraded small molecules, they are food for the bacteria on living on the surface of activated carbon, and that is one way to enhance the removal of natural organic matter from to drinking water. Ozone has been used before that in the case in order to remove the odor and taste from the drinking water. And it is very reactive with this most common odor and taste causing molecules produced by algae, geosmin and methyl tertial butyl, MTB. And for example, at the moment, there is research going on with the Luke, where ozone is used in order to remove those two compounds from the recycling water of the aquaculture. Other applications of ozone, they are uncountable in the wastewater. For example, in paper and pulp industry wastewater, it's able to break those molecules, compounds originating from lignin, for example, as to small biodegradable molecules. It is able to remove, for example, odor after fire. For example, if you have a residual smell of the smoke in for example, after a fire, you just order this kind of company and they have the ozone generator and they run this ozonation of this air and the molecules, polyaromatic hydrocarbons on the surfaces of these walls, and the smoke, the smell of smoke disappears. The very same is done and carried out for example, for used cars. A couple of hours ozonation inside of the used cars, and it removes all these odors from used cars or hotel rooms. And also, for example, in U.S. there are a couple of places where you can take your shoes and they do the ozonation, and that ozonation removes the ugly smell of shoes, but don't take the rubber boots for the ozonation, because ozone is really eating rubber. And the first technique to measure ozone was the degradation and rottening of the rubber pipe. It's also used in paper and pulp industry in the process of bleaching of the pulp. And this ozone with other oxidizing agents like hydrogen peroxide has replaced the chlorine in the bleaching process. Yes, and it's also good for microbial control in air and in foodstuff industry. For example, if you flush your vegetables with ozonated, with the water that contains ozone, it gives more lifetime for the vegetables or fish or before packing. So. Very, very useful chemical, but problematic because you have to produce the ozone on the spot. And it can be produced either from pressurized oxygen or pressurized air. And we are using air The highest concentration what can be produced from air is of course lower than if you use poor oxygen, but this poor oxygen source of the gas, it's more like industry, for industrial purposes. We want to play safe and we want to avoid all hazardous concentrations of ozone. Another method to produce ozone in small scale is to use UV lamps with a strong photon energy with very low UV lamp. With normal mercury arc lamp, they produce light with 254, but there are always a small amount of 185. And if you use this kind of UV lamps, which doesn't have this protective layer, there is always this formation of the ozone as a byproduct that occurred in the old form of the photocopy machines when they didn't know that this UV lamps can produce ozone. But that was very easily, that occupational exposure was very easily eliminated by modifying the lamp. Ozone generators are based on this. You have an electrical difference, and the gas, air, hydrogen, or oxygen is passing through these two electroplates, and it's split, and ozone is produced. And the big real ozone generators look like that. They can produce several kilos of ozone per hour. Our ozone generator is much smaller.